Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast, Round 8, 2019. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Jack Watts Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who told Dane Rampe to climb the goalpost. It's Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. Coming to you from the beautiful... I can actually see the Adelaide Oval from my hotel room. It is wonderful.
Hotel room? What are you talking about? It's Jack Watts Studios.
That's what I meant. We've redone the studio to look like a hotel room.
We've branched for the out, moment. Man. So we got Rod Carter Studios. We got Mark Zanotti Studios in Brisbane.
In Brisbane,
is that right?
Yes.
Have we had to record a show in Perth? I'm not totally sure yet.
We've never gone to Perth. We haven't set up a studio over there.
But
you and I were discussing how do we christen the great studio that we've set up here in Adelaide? And there's only one man we need to go to. And I'll tell you what, once I got here, woo, Michael, I am flying. This is going to be a three-hour fucking podcast. Let me tell you.
When we got the person to design it, to build it, and we said, what? Surprises. And they've gone all out. And you know what I love? I love the pool because the man loves swimming.
Well, that is very true. And also, it has a Hofbräuhaus theme as well.
That's beautiful.
There's a little bit Oktoberfest in here. There's a swimming pool. It's got it all. Jack Watts Studio is probably our favourite studio.
Tuck into your pork knuckle while you're there.
I definitely will.
And your Weizen pulver that's
lined up on the table here. Yes, that is correct. And also, there's been a lot of young girls knocking on the door saying, "Is Jack here?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? He's in a loving relationship. He has got nothing. He doesn't want to see young girls like you."
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So. I did, in fact, I didn't know, when did climbing a goalpost become illegal? I thought, because whenever I coach a team, I'm always like, get up the goalpost, what are you doing down here? Yep. You guys, you fucking idiots. And also, one, because you can shake the post, so that throws them off when they're kicking. And two, now, you're also getting in the way of the edge and the high technology that AFL has implanted. Yeah. So, they go, did it snick the goalpost? You go, I can't tell. Someone was fucking muffling the microphones that are in the goalpost. I'm all over that espionage kind of bullshit.
That's a really good point. I didn't even think about that. About how the goal review could be affected if the post was still shaking.
The thing that bothers me, like, how much, if you're kicking for goal and a goalpost moves, he's not going to move the base of it, right? He's going to move the very top of it. Are you aiming for the top of that goalpost? Like, where are you aiming? Like, I almost kicked that, but the top of the goalpost moves slightly.
Yeah, yeah. He wouldn't have noticed it. I can't remember the name of the Eston player that was having the shot. Do you remember the name?
It was Myers, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Yes. Actually, it's right in front of me on the AFL website right now.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have noticed it, but at the same time, I personally think I'm amazed it wasn't a free kick.
Well, considering everyone, like, Rampe was still halfway up the post when Jake Stringer was pointing it out to the umpire.
Yeah, yeah.
And the umpire said, get down.
Yeah.
And he got down.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And it's like, how does the umpire not know that that's a free kick? And then the AFL ticked off on it, and now he's got a case to answer for. What the fuck's going on, AFL? You're confusing us.
Oh, absolutely. So the umpire said no free kick. Gill came out the next day and said, probably technically a free kick, but I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah. What does that mean? Technically, but nah.
Well, that's the thing. It's like when people say, oh, technically it's illegal, like when there's a crime or something. Oh, technically it's illegal. No, no.
So you're saying
technically it's still illegal, okay?
Yeah. That lab I've got in my house. Is that like technically, but we'll tick it off. We'll give it a green tick because we don't want the umpires to look like fucking morons.
Well, I'm presuming this is probably the words of the great Dennis Pagan. You can't be half pregnant, so you can't be technically illegal. Okay, it's
exactly.
Illegal or it's legal.
Yeah.
So he now gets a please explain from the AFL saying, hey, can you tell us why you did that thing that we reckon was totally fine and told no one to worry about?
And then he said to Horse after the game, I didn't know it was not a thing. And I guess, you know what, to the letter of the law, if you're playing football and you learn all the rules about, incorrect disposal, pushing the back, it's pretty rare that you're going to be told, like, unless Rampe was often up a post, he's not probably going to know about it, is he?
No, you're right. Like, you very rarely got that at the junior clinic. Kind of like, too high, tripping. By the way, don't try and climb a goalpost.
See, that's the issue at Auskick. Maybe the goalposts are too small. You try and climb one of those, it's just going to tumble over.
Yeah,
so you're never going to know until you're in the seniors. So therefore, it's Auskick's fault. Well, they're not teaching the kids now that you can't climb a goalpost.
There are a couple of fun rules, and I hate to do the forward plug because I didn't do it last week for you, Adam, because you were on the beep test yesterday. Anyone Foxtel, you can watch it on your Foxtel Go. Beautiful episode with Dan McGinley. But in the AFL rules...
You don't really need Foxtel Go, mate. It's going to be repeated fairly regularly on Fox Footy. You're going to be pretty safe.
Preview for like one of the episodes coming up. In the AFL rules, they actually have a thing about how players must urinate into the toilets and not in or around the dressing room and on the ground. And they also have another rule saying that players...
Hang on, let's just pause on that one. In and around the dressing room?
Yeah.
So you're away from prying eyes. You're away from the crowd. I understand. Don't do it on the ground like many players used to do.
Yep.
Middle of the huddle. Pull the shorts aside. Out it comes. Cut a slash. Go about your business. Hope that you see someone run through it or slide through it during the game.
Yeah.
But in the change rooms, like, who's around? Like, I don't care. Like, unless if it's half time and you're just standing there, you know, you're having your midfield meeting, you got your line coach having having a talk to you, and you're just standing there having a wee. As long as you're paying attention to what he's saying, well, who gives a fuck where you're pissing?
It's apparently an AFL rule. And also,
wow.
There's another one. I don't have in front of me right now, but players are meant to keep a level of personal hygiene. So whatever that rule means, that could be a free kick. If you could be coming into goal and the umpire says, whoa, wait, you've got a, I don't know, like, what would personal hygiene mean? You've got a turd.
You've got a big muff.
Yeah. Like, they'd be like, nah, you got to get out of there and...
All you need to please explain. What's with the 70s pubic hair?
Yeah, you got to get a runner out straight away to wax you down.
Yeah. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I think the personal hygiene one is a good one. You know what they should do, though, with the goalpost? Because I actually didn't mind it. Dame Rampy didn't get up for high enough. What would be great is if you had, like, rungs on the goalpost so you can get halfway up.
Oh, okay.
Almost
like a Mad Max thing.
Yeah. So, okay, someone kicks it and it's going through post height. Fucking bang, you punch it back out. Play on.
You know what? I could actually probably see that rule coming in, like, the year 2548. Like, you could actually run up the goalpost and you could actually try and stop the ball going through.
Well, that's when you'd fucking hope that the lasers didn't knock you off the goalpost from the opposition team.
Yeah, sure, when we're half a robot.
Yeah. So it was an amazing end to a game, and I think it sort of took the shine off Sydney's win. People saying that, you know, Myers probably should have had a shot from the top of the goal square after the free kick. Do you think he should have gone the barrel?
Yeah, I was surprised by that, and... I was surprised it kind of didn't go as far. He was about 53 out by the end of it.
Yeah, but see, everyone seems to go, if you go for the barrel and you don't get it, they go, oh, well, he went for the barrel, that's okay. Because if you're over 50, to kick a drop punt through, you've got to be like Buddy Franklin. Like, you've got to be good kick.
And at the very end of the game, too.
Very fatigued. That's why that's the AFL's rotations, the interchange cap. Has worked perfectly. Otherwise, back in the old days,
he would have kicked.
That would have been a goal. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Malcolm Blight style.
So it's finally come to fruition. What do we think of Orazio Fantasiasi?
Oh, okay. Adame. I think.
Listen, Michelle.
You know, when I first got my license, when I was like 18 or so, I was there waiting for it, and
strapping young lad you were.
Yeah. A lady came out to kind of, you know, hand over my card. And she called out, Michel Chambellon. And then she looked at it again. She was like, oh, Michael Chamberlain?
What, did you get it in Paris or something?
No. It was just like she kind of just went creative on my name. She was BT before BT.
Well, it's good to be BT before BT. But see, the thing about Fantasia, he came out today and said it's Fantasia.
Well, yeah, I'm not quite sure where he... Well, we know where he stands on the name. But I reckon there are a lot of names that are pronounced incorrectly.
Mm.
I'm pretty certain that Favola is Fevola.
You think so?
I'm pretty certain that. And also, a friend was telling me that Degoe, I believe, if you were walking down downtown Amsterdam, would be De Hoy, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I'll go with that. And probably Roughhead would be Richard.
Yeah, sure. But what about you? You're... Are you
Rosenbarks? Barks.
Yeah, but you get Rosenbarks a lot, though, don't you?
I get Rosenbarks. I got introduced on Saturday night as Rosenberg. I get it all, mate.
Rosenberg.
Yeah, and that was, I was at a gig I was doing, and he goes, you know and love him, he's fantastic, Adam Rosenberg. And you go, you don't even know me.
Close personal friend.
Yeah, very close. That was at the West Coburg Football Club. Great night.
I do love it when comedians feel the need to introduce you as like a good friend. And it's it's like, oh, really? So like they're going to judge me by the fact like we're mates. It's like, oh, no, you said they're mates. So that means they're funny.
Pay attention now. He really likes this guy. He's seen him heaps. They've traveled all around.
Yeah.
These guys gig together all the time.
I have my friend Terry Siarkis, and she was introduced a few years ago. She noticed on the lineup that it was written T-E-R-R-Y. And then the bloke brought her on going, he's a great bloke. He's fantastic. Please welcome Terry Siarkis. And then a lady walks out.
Oh, that's nice. So I don't know. I mean, I just think that we should just defer to BT, and whatever BT says your name is, that's what you adopt.
Pretty much, yeah. I reckon BT should be like there when people are coming into the country. You know, like back in the old days where they talk, they've got one in Sydney, like the kind of where they come off the boats and, you know, and their anecdotes of people like, you know, that wasn't my name, but that's how the guy wrote it down.
Yeah, like at Ellis Island in New York.
Yeah, a bit like that. Yeah, there's one, I think it's a Manly, I think, in Sydney.
Okay.
So I think that should be like BT's job when like, you know.
He's at immigration.
New people come to Australia.
BT's like, a part of Border Force.
It's like, what's your name? And it's like, how can I? And BT puts his little spin on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Muhammad goes, no, don't like Muhammad. I'm going to change it to Michael. And your surname is Al-Baghdadi. He goes, no, I don't like it. The Bagman.
Yeah, yeah. And so he kind of rolls around the tongue a little bit going, the Bagman.
But even like Jake Lloyd, it's always like Lloyd.
Oh, dude.
Which does my fucking head in.
I saw that recently. I had there's a YouTube clip of like BT saying Lloyd for about 5 minutes. And it's hilarious. He's like, Lloyd. And then one, he just goes, Lloyd.
It's very annoying. I'll tell you who's not annoying. Your man, the greatest man in football at the moment, Jared Roughead. What a decent human being he is.
What a delightful man. So he gave a bit of advice to Ruben William on the weekend.
Yeah, now let's just put it first. Friend of the show, but he got dropped. And that's a huge fucking call from Clarko, isn't it? Like, did you ever expect that Ruffy would get dropped in his remaining career?
I didn't think drop, but he had about 8 touches on the game against Melbourne. He did kick a booming goal that kind of was very nice and, you know, looked great on the replay. But
yeah,
I didn't think of a dropping, but I was like, 8 touches, that's a bit rough. And he has been a bit rough the last few weeks, I'm sorry. But
Clarko, he's the ice in his veins, man.
Well, I think it was more like sending a message, wasn't it?
Well, it certainly didn't. It worked. But but Ruffy kicked the Jew off the grass in the VFL against Footscray.
He kicked 5 in a draw against there, the Bulldogs.
And he was there giving a bit of help to the backman that he was destroying.
He was. He was having a chat to Ruben William. And I think Ruben asked the question of how to play big men.
Is that right?
Yeah, because he probably looked about on the TV, looked about maybe 4 inches, maybe shorter than Ruffy. And he was like, how do I go? And Ruffy kind of like pointed in the right direction, do that. But then Ruben was also like, yeah, you know, when I had my back to him, he was like, you know.
Killing me.
But yeah, no, that's, hey mate, that's rough. We've seen it in the flesh, haven't we? Hey,
what a great man.
So hopefully, I mean, I want him to be back in the team. Like we are in that kind of period where we've got Ruff, Mitchell Lewis, maybe a thing, who knows, still a kid, but like, it's like, sheesh, that big forward, like if Ruff goes at the end of the year,
I think you bring him back, and then if he doesn't do any good the next week, you drop him again. I reckon you just fucking yo-yo
message.
Him. So, so he gets no confidence at all. Oh, you're back. No, you're not. Put him in the emergency. Bring him in. Drop him just before the game starts.
But also, I think people are thinking about maybe Ruff being the final year for this year. But at the same time, like, you know, if he does have a good back end of the year, like, you know, does he go on again? Who knows? Whatever. Anyway, people love him.
Mate, it's Clarko.
He'll be
no
fine.
One's going on again, mate. He'll ice him.
He'll find a way, like, wouldn't he? Yeah. But I mean, it's funny because that 2005 draft, or 2004 draft, of those top few, like Griffin gone. Huh, that sounds like a Harry Potter house. Griffin gone. Leeds probably at the end of the year, probably.
Yeah, I would think so. Buddy's not playing particularly well.
Tamlin, Buddy, I mean, what's Buddy got left? 4 years off the top of my head. Like,
He's not getting there.
I mean, yeah, Ruff goes like that top echelon. But again, it's like, what, 15 years ago? So, yeah, obviously.
But also, too, you know, the good thing about playing on Sunday, Ruffy would have been out of the MCG at, say, what, 1 o'clock? He gets to go home early. Fucking great, because no one else turned up.
I turned up, Adam, and I mean, I think it's a bit deceptive, the crowd figures. I saw
14,000, is that correct?
I saw a lot of people outside the ground, okay?
There are
a lot
of is that right?
Just trying
that
to
right?
get in. I think it was more that the gates weren't open. No, it was actually...
Okay.
It was a bit shit. Like, there was, like, all like shops were closed and shit like that. Like, you know, the bars and, like, 2 out of 3 bars and food stores were shut.
Right.
And Jeff Kennett came out and talked about it being almost like an AFL conspiracy. Talking about how...
Is that right? Conspiracy?
Yeah. He reckons with our programming this year, he reckons like we'll lose up to about $1 million, possibly. And he said it's been quite deliberately by the AFL. He said they've been dealt a bad hand. Now, it is unlike Jeff Kennett to say something ridiculous.
But he was saying don't put the Mother's Day game at 3:20 on a Sunday afternoon, because anyone who loves their mum is going to be there for dinner or on their way there, or they've seen it for lunch and so they're not going to get to the game in time. But when do you play Greater Western Sydney in Melbourne? Like, when's a good time to do that? Because you're not going to draw a huge crowd anyway.
No, for sure. A lot of people going, like, we played Carlton about 2 weeks ago and they're like, why didn't we play the Giants there in Tassie?
Yes, that makes sense.
Carlton this week. Yeah. You figure, like, put a Melbourne team. I didn't kind of buy into the Mother's Day thing, because, like, if it's fucking, you know, Geelong and Collingwood, like, they'd still get 80,000. So I don't really kind of buy the leaning on the Mother's Day thing. But I had a great time, Adam, because I was there with my mum. So it was best of both worlds.
Oh, is that right? You took Mama Chamberlain.
Well, I didn't take Mama Chamberlain, like, but we were there. Like, mum and dad and my friend Nina and my brother-in-law and niece and nephew. So it was a bit of a family adventure.
And one other person. That's great. And did you see JJD? We haven't seen him for a while. What's going on?
I'm worried sick, man. I haven't seen him for a while. He's obviously gone corporate. He's up on the second level now. And so I can't...
You know what he doesn't like? He doesn't like his son playing in the back line. He's going, if my boy, if Jack isn't in the forward line, I ain't going.
And that
contributes to the numbers. People that gets out. Is JJD going to be there? No, he's actually not. Well, I'm not fucking going.
I'd actually be curious. Like, you know, like every now and then you kind of have a game and it might be like 3 degrees outside and you go like, I might just watch it on TV.
Yep.
If you're the parent, like, is that call a bit tougher to make? If you're like, I've got to call up your son and be like,
If you're Joel Selwood's parents and you go 250 games, he's already won 3 flags. Do we really need to go see him? He's going to duck. People are going to boo. They're going to know we're related to him. I can't be fucked. Got to drive all the way up the highway.
I imagine
as a parent, your first couple of games, you're excited. And then once they become settled in the team, you give up completely.
Yeah, okay.
Unless it's finals or big games. You know, you're not going to watch him. You're not going to shit games.
I wonder how many kind of follow them, you know, Perth, Brisbane, go all around.
Here's a question question without notice.
Oh, dude, come on, mate.
I know, it's a Monday night, it's late, but do the cheer squads get subsidised to go to the games? Because I would say that most people in the cheer squad are not the most affluent people getting around, and yet they seem to be everywhere. Like, yeah. I saw the Melbourne cheer squad was up in the Gold Coast. Teams that travel to Perth, that's not a cheap fucking flight for anyone.
Yeah, Richmond, so, WA, yeah.
Yeah, so do the club allocate a certain amount for the cheer squad? So if anyone out there is in a cheer squad, we'd love to hear from you, because I reckon they must, because there's no way that they would be able to afford that. Joffa's not fucking flying around Australia on Joffa's wage.
Well, I mean...
I mean, he makes a lot of cash, but he can't claim it.
But do we see Joffa at the interstate games much? I don't remember seeing him at, like, Brisbane or Perth or Adelaide.
You know what? That's a good point. I think there's probably restrictions on him travelling. But I just reckon, because you see a lot of the same people. Like, the GWS people who come down, surely the AFL is paying for those guys to come down just to get a crowd.
You'd figure, because at the game the other day, even though there's no one there, like, they were literally the only Giants fans there.
The ones behind the goals.
Yeah, there was like, 30 of them or whatever, but they were literally the only people.
It's tough, isn't it? You know, and I mean, you know, they were awful, which is not, didn't give them a lot of chance to applaud and stuff. But yeah, I'm just curious. Anyone in the cheer squad, anyone with any knowledge, I would love to know that. Answer my question without notice.
Hey, Adam, how much of a low dog is Gary Ablett Jr.?
He's probably one of the lowest dogs we've ever seen in the game.
I think you're right, yeah.
His last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I know the AFL has, you know, decreed that he had nothing to answer to, but you and I and people watching, we all know.
We've been strong on Gary Ablett being a low dog. I mean, all the way back to his debut. We were like, it's coming.
Yeah.
We know a low dog when we see one.
Oh, absolutely.
And it might take about 328 games, but it's coming. Yeah.
And we know that God will, he will remove his hair because he's such a low dog. And he did. And he said, I will make you go to Gold Coast. And he did.
But how many people are there? But keep the beard. Isn't that a weird quirk of balding? They're like, we'll give you a full beard, but no hair on top.
No hair on top,
I think most people would be like, give me no beard, but keep the hair.
Give me the hair. Love the hair.
Yeah.
Really big fan of the hair.
Yeah,
I look great in that.
Don't really care about the beard.
Got used to it through my first 24 years. Look good with it. Didn't have a beard for the first fucking 17. And now, fucking do the old switcheroo, happy.
But Junior got cleared by Chrisso.
Now, what did you think of this hit? It was way late.
I thought this one was worse than the Shield one. The Shield one, I was like, yeah, low dog.
Yeah.
But but this one, I was like, I watched it a couple of times. And I was like, the ball is clearly out of the way before... He throws
that
up
was the thing. He took
forearm.
He took a couple of steps and then went up for the
and
elbow.
I'm like, you're not protecting yourself there. Unless you've overcorrected the protection and like you mean to almost protect your chest with a shoulder. But no, I
often protect my face with the point of my elbow.
Yeah, but I do feel like all the Brownlows are now tainted. Like, and I don't mean like Gary Ablett's. I mean all of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
So they should all be handed back.
That's
fair enough. I mean, there's going to come a time, and maybe it'll be a preliminary final. Who knows? But Gary Ablett, you're going to get done, mate. You can't keep running around like this. You're fucking sniper.
But Chrisso said that it was insufficient force. That was the main overriding thing. When he got up at you know, allegedly 10:30 a.m. as we know through our background information. And he strolled into the office about 11 a.m. had a coffee, and then watched like a minute and a half of clips, and then had
the
to
people
make a
had
few
given
calls.
Him, yeah, exactly, yeah.
And then came out and talked all friendly to the journos, and then got very serious. I mean, actually, that stuff.
Chrisso was in the toilet cubicle, and he had his underling come in, and he just talked him through that. Yeah. He's like, Gary Ablett, what do you reckon? The guy goes, I reckon it's pretty sufficient force. He goes, no, it's insufficient, mate. Nah, we're not charging him. Don't worry about it. What about Nat Fyfe? How did Nat Fyfe get off?
Well, I haven't actually even seen that one, man. Are you going to take me through that one?
Well, so the Fyfe one, the first time I saw it, they showed it in slow-mo. So you go, there's not much in it.
Yeah.
But it's that last second where you go, oh, he's about to protect himself. And then he just lifts it, like in one split, you know, one frame, bang, up goes the elbow, hits Tom Lynch in the face. Again, I think it's because Tom Lynch wasn't concussed. I think it's all about if you... feign more of a concussion. Like if you come off, doctors go, come down the rooms, bang, mallet in the head, you're fucking concussed. Then you get Gary, you know, whoever it is, Fyfe, Ablett, whatever, out for 2 to 3 weeks. So I think it's up to the doctors to take it more in their hands and say less about, no, he's fine. Go, no, mate, we're going to make you concuss. We're going to concuss you.
Well, here's my conspiracy theory moving forward. Crucial, you know, like a prelim final, whatever.
Oh, here we go. If you're playing an arch enemy.
Yeah, yeah, you're playing someone. You'd be like, hey, mate, just let's just, like, we're winning, whatever. We're 10 goals up with a minute to go. Hey, just get this concussion test wrong. We can have that guy ruled out tomorrow. And
So you wouldn't do it in a prelim.
No,
you might
do it in a prelim.
You're doing it in a qualifying.
Yeah, see
him again.
I realised when I was talking, I made that rookie mistake. I'm very angry at myself now. Junk time apology, but who ought to say that the integrity of the game, Adam? Guess I don't trust these shifty doctors, man. Nah, they're all on
look,
the
I
dodge.
Think,
they're all on the dodge,
look, mate. I think Bruce Reid has shown. Bruce Reid has shown the integrity of doctors is of such a high level that we can never bring into question that anything they ever do. So you take that back.
But who knows, man? Maybe one day you get a fucking rogue doctor and he's like, yeah, it was really bad, and it wasn't. You never know. Anyway.
Well, I think any doctors listening, you fucking get on that. You go, no, mate, stay down.
Hey, I was barracking really hard for Carlton on the weekend.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
Barracking really hard for Carlton to lose in an embarrassing fashion. like get we really don't do close. That.
We don't do that 2 weeks in a row, mate. We're just a one embarrassment at a time kind of team.
No, no, I was hoping for you guys to get up. It was like a really kind of cool, like people talking during the week about, well, does the Collingwood-Carlton rivalry still matter?
Yes, and, there was a lot of question to that.
And it was a great little game. It was a really great little game.
Look, for Carlton to be up by 11 points in the last quarter, I think with 20 minutes gone, against a side that a lot of people are saying, you know, is a premiership fancy,
yep,
was a fucking huge effort by us. Sure, they kicked 5 goals in about 8 minutes, yep, but that's going to happen. They're a very good team, Collingwood. But Carlton, all you wanted to see was just to not get flogged. And we did that really well. We were fucking, we were close.
Yeah,
and Levi Casbolt, he was in the back line. He did okay.
I think he had that. I think he had that on the banner on the on the ground at the, before the game. It was like, please don't get flogged.
Well, I think it's just good for if everyone plays to the players now. But Patrick Cripps came out and said we are going to respond, and they did, which is, you know, all you want to see from a teammate. So next week we're playing the Giants in Sydney without a back line, so we could get flogged again. And yeah, the Giants are coming off an absolute spanking against Hawthorn, so they will want to respond. And I can't see Carlton doing very well up there. But you know, we'll take this honourable loss again. Fuck, we're good at honourable. We're leading the league in honourable losses at the moment.
Hey, I'm a little bit frightened about Collingwood, though. Like, you look at their team. Fuck, man, they've got some fucking very good players, don't they?
They're about a little too deep for mine.
Yeah, like properly deep and properly young, too. Like, they're going to be around for a long time.
How good's Brody Grundy?
Yeah, yeah.
For Stevenson, a fucking hipster.
Degoe. Like, you know, yeah. Pendles is still, you know, flying. Like, it's...
You stop three or four of them, then, you know, Will Hoskin Elliott pops up in the last quarter.
Who the fuck are you? Like, where'd you come from?
Where have you been? You know, fucking, what have you been doing?
Yeah, like they're actually.
How dare you?
I feel like they're my pick at the minute. I want the Giants to win it. I've said that
now,
before.
No, but after what the Giants did on the weekend, I would actually rule them out. They clearly cannot play at the MCG.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, actually. Like how they. I mean, it's not wet, but it was like a bit dour. There was no one there, but you know that doesn't matter for them. But like, and I think also the Hawks kind of had the blowtorch put on them during the week with the Ruffy dropping and stuff like that.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah,
they embarrassed themselves losing to Melbourne. That was embarrassing.
And it was a bit of a nothing kind of game. Like you didn't walk away from the game going fuck, Hawks are awesome. Like you were just like,
but you weren't expecting GWS to kick four. Were they kick 4 goals? 5 goals?
No. Walking in, you think you were going to lose. Yeah. But yeah, you were hopeful that they could show something. Yeah.
Oh, no need to brag, mate. All right, you fucking won. We get it. What about? Okay, what's your take? So there was some ugly incidents in the crowd post Carlton Collingwood, and you know we've had a few punch-ons in the crowds this past season. The one in the first game, Carlton Richmond. There was that. Hawthorn Melbourne one just last week. And they're talking about, do we either segregate the players or do we ban booze? And as an Australian, I can guarantee you 100% that there will be no booze ban at the footy.
Oh, ban booze. I thought you meant like boo, as in like boo.
Oh, booing. No. Get off the piss, mate. No piss.
Oh, ban booze.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, no, they were talking about just because saying, you know, people by the end of the game, they've had a skinful, you know.
Yeah.
It's like it's a 110 game, so a 145 game. So they've fucking gone out for lunch, had a couple of froths, get to the game, couple more froths, game gets close, had a couple more froths, then you fucking get into the, you fucking, where'd he came from? Degoe, that was a free kick against him, against Plowman, he punched him in the face. And, you know, little things like that I may or may not have said at the ground to spark that fight. But then people say, well, just let's just stop alcohol. And Australians wholeheartedly will go, no, we can't do that. We'd rather a few punch-ons fire up in the crowd rather than get rid of booze.
When do they stop the grog? Do they stop at three-quarter time?
No, that is a ridiculous thing.
Yeah, gotcha.
I don't believe so.
Do they do that in the NFL maybe? Maybe you yes, talk in about the, that, doing the NFL, yeah.
In the NFL they do. They cut it off. And I think also in the baseball it might be the seventh inning, the bottom of the seventh. I think they cut off the booze as
And
well.
Also in the baseball, they have kind of dry areas. So you can drink in some area.
Yeah, yeah. Which is not a bad idea. So if you don't want to get in a punch on, you go in a dry area, which is up the top, right up the back, where no one gives a fuck about you.
But I admire these people with their who can get that shit-faced at a footy game and also have the financial resources to be like, yeah, I'll drop $25,000 on a beer. Because I'm like, every time I buy a beer, well, not beer, but like buy a cider or whatever, I'm like,
that's expensive.
Can I give a kidney instead? Like,
yeah, yeah. No, that's blowing the budget. Yeah, yeah. No, if you get in a shout at the footy, you're like, fucking hell, mate. Fucking killed me. You come back with your little tray and you try not to spill stuff because it's just dollars down the fucking drain. You're like, fuck this.
But I've never been one to kind of go to a sporting event to get drunk. Like people talk about, yeah, I went to the footy and got shit-faced. I'm like, didn't you watch the game? Like, I don't want to watch the game. I don't want to get shit-faced.
Sounds like someone's never been in a box. You can't help it, mate. It's not even your fault. It's not, they're just serving it to you, Michael.
But also,
and it's just, you know, that's the catering. You're paying for it, so you may as well fucking drink it.
So what about segregation? That's a pipe dream. That's not going to happen for a good 100 years, I reckon.
I can't see how segregation happens. Yeah. Also, how do you segregate the MCC? What do you have, like the haves and the other haves?
It's probably Protestant and Catholic or like private school, public school, most likely.
You're divided by how many
it's like negatively
geared properties you've got.
Investment properties and no.
Oh, you've only
properties.
Got four, you pauper.
I'll fucking cut you up.
I'll stab the tires on your Bentley.
Oh, I'll fucking see you at the Supreme Court, Your Honor.
The thing about segregation though is you're not segregated once you leave the ground. Like I know they do that in the UK.
Yeah.
But in Australia, everyone because they all come from towns, whereas we all come from suburbs, so we all got to cross paths at some point.
Well, we talked to Christian a few weeks ago, our friend from AFL Switzerland, who talked about the even being segregated at the ice hockey.
Mm. Which I don't know. I think just because a couple of fuckwits ruin it for the rest of us, I don't think we should be segregated and I don't think we should be no booze. Because we have mid-strength and people still manage to punch on with that. So, you know, we'll achieve it no matter what kind of alcohol is in the booze.
Yeah, I reckon maybe bump up the security a little bit. And
I remember a few years ago there was a fight, I think it was Melbourne-Collingwood, so this is about 8 years ago, and a guy got into a fight, but he'd been on ecstasy.
Oh.
And it's like, what are you doing at the game? Like, you're just going, fucking, this is a great game, but I'll tell you what would make it a lot better is if I took a couple of pills.
Oh, shit. Oh, God, yeah. It's like watching Bongo Cam going, fucking check those beats, man. Oh, God. Oh, well, you don't want that person there. Fuck off, mate.
But I want them there because I make a lot of money out of them.
But I also think there's that thing of, like, if there are people at the ground who are kind of being loud or annoying or saying, and I'm a big one on this, like swearing, like, you know, don't be shouting out, you know, F's and C's and stuff like that.
Yes.
The kids around. People feel apprehensive, like, you know, do I tell that person to maybe calm it down? Because you don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. I get that. And I think people's tempers are flaring at the end of games when, you know, things get tight, you say things you didn't mean.
Yeah.
But you would hope it doesn't delve into, you know, well, let me show you what I mean with a fucking 112 to the face.
Do you ever this thing? I had a thing recently a few weeks ago. There was a dude on the tram. It was like a packed tram on a Saturday. I'm heading down to town. And there was a dude who played essentially like, I would say offensive rap music by the fact there was lots of C's and F's and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like on his speaker, like played it really
well. Yeah,
loud.
right.
And you're there. And I kind of found it kind of funny, but no one wanted to take him on. And
well, it's very confronting. You don't want to be that person that steps up because you never know whether you're going to get fucking knifed.
Well, that's the thing. You don't know if they do have a knife. But then I kind of saw him. He was like about 18 or so. And I was like, I could have taken you. That'd be fine. But you're also looking around going, is there an adult who could, you know, say something? And then you go, oh,
yeah,
I'm an adult.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. when did I turn 18? Oh, that's right. A long time ago.
Yeah, but he was just playing shit Aussie rap. So it's all like, yeah, got my fish and chips down the beach. And it was just kind of funny when I finally saw him after like 15, 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, you're a child. I want a fucking glassy.
That's not a bad song, though, that one. Now, the West Coast Eagles were very lucky to... They had a good win over here. In Melbourne. Sorry, I'm in Jack Watt's studio, not over here. Against the Saners, but... they were lucky. Some of their players were lucky to get there because they were trapped in a lift.
Am I right?
Pre-game.
They went to get some breakfast and they head back to the lift.
So they're in the hotel.
And they were kind of in the Pullman, actually, just at the top of the MCG, just near John Learmonth Station.
Yep.
That seems to be the go-to place for football teams now.
Yeah. And so Oscar Allen, their new great big forward that they're trying to, you know, the 20-year-old, is going to be a replacement for, he'll be the replacement for Josh Kennedy in a few years. They were all in the lift, and he said, on the way back, we got in the lift, and we were actually miming an In Excess song. So could they have been annoyingly playing the song on their phone like
that's
you just
actually
said
a really
hate?
Good point. Yeah, there would have been someone walking down the hotel hall going, is there an adult somewhere? Because I want to stab these people.
Shut these motherfuckers up. And then he goes on to say, and whoever got it wrong, so I don't know, there was a big fuss about it. So clearly someone got the lyrics wrong. They weren't happy. I actually got the rhythm wrong and everyone started jumping in the lift and it kind of just stopped in the middle of the levels.
Yeah.
So, you know, have you ever done that? Like bounce a lift as it started to land?
No. Is that a thing that you do?
I have done it previously and it just makes it big noise and you probably shouldn't do it, but I was very young when I did it, so it was not the smartest thing to do, clearly.
So you get near the ground level and you'd bounce it like about,
you know,
2 feet
it
before?
Sort of, yes. So you slam into it when it finally stops.
Really? That's a thing that you did?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm pretty cool.
You
is
have
that what
like,
you're thinking?
No, it's just like your teenage years, like kind of like, there's this like weird kind of random vandalism that's like totally not required at all.
Well, that's what vandalism is. It's wanton.
Well, like,
we didn't plan it.
You chuck in the Saturday paper when you're doing the paper round, like kind of ramming it onto people's verandas.
Like a centre bounce.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Saturday Age, the Saturday Extra. Yeah. Just to, because I wanted to wake up the neighbourhood because I was awake.
Yeah, that's not a normal thing that people do.
I beg to differ. Junk timers, help me out here.
That's the work of a serial killer.
Tell me that you're all assholes. So then they were jammed, and he said, we tried everything, pressing all the buttons, and after about 20 minutes, they called us back and said they'd be another 45 off. Have you ever been stuck in a lift?
I don't think I have, no. We talked to the great Chris Judd about 4 years ago in a Junk Time interview podcast, probably in the archives, and he talked about he pushed the emergency stop button.
That's
when he was
right.
Doing, I think he might have been doing an under-18s tournament, maybe.
See? Another one, like me, just a bit of mucking around, you know?
Yeah, he was mucking around, pumping them up, and he pushed the emergency stop button, and then all of a shock, it stopped immediately.
Stopped, like it was an emergency.
Yeah, and so he said that they pried the doors open, they had teammates feeding them toast through a little gap in the between floors before they could get them going. That was like pretty much the worst thing Judd's ever done. It was like the naughtiest thing he's ever done.
Absolutely. So, yeah, they were stuck in the lift, and he said, luckily, so the players that were stuck in there were Andrew Gaff, Jack Darling, Elliot Yao, and Liam Ryan. So there's some good players stuck in that lift. Like, St Kilda really could have won had that lift stayed jammed.
And could you do that? Like, if they were still stuck in the lift and the game time was happening, you're like, you know, out, yo, lift. Like, do you need to, like, do they... You know, who was it when they brought Joe Danaher back in? Well, who was it? It was the Bombers, but they brought him back in a couple of weeks ago and they got that 20 grand fine or whatever.
Yes.
Do they put up a bit of leniency if, like, if four of your five of your best players are stuck in a lift?
I would think so. I think there'd probably be a please explain, but then you just go, they're in the lift, and they go, okay, that's explained. Thank you.
And then they go, why did the lift stop? Oh, we were playing In Excess on speakerphone and then we jumped up and down. Oh, no, 100 grand fine. You're fucked.
Yeah. You fucking idiot.
We'd actually lose your points. Actually, we're taking all your wins away from you.
How long do you reckon you'd cope in a lift?
By myself or with people?
No, with people.
With strangers, about 3 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, fuck, we got to talk to each other. This is weird.
Yeah. So they said that one of them had a deck of cards, so they just kind of sat on the floor and played cards. But I reckon... It would start to close in very quickly, I reckon.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, in a really crowded one, you'd just be like, oh, this is not going well for me.
Yeah, I think you'd be lucky if in this day and age you got your phone, so you can kind of potter away on that for a little bit.
No, but have you ever been in a lift when, you know, when you're looking at something on your phone and then it just drops back to 3G and then cuts out? I'm not convinced that would work.
Yeah. Oh, God, you have to talk to people. Ugh.
It'd be horrible. And what if you do, like, you know, I think they said here that they'd had a few coffees.
Yeah, and a lot of water.
A lot of water.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're worried about, you know, and we know that you're not allowed to do it in change rooms. So clearly you're not allowed to do it in a lift. It'd be please explain from the AFL.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think I saw a YouTube clip of a bloke who was stuck in a lift for like a day, I think.
And oh, fuck.
Yeah. That'd be a nightmare. Yeah. And then I saw a film called Die Hard, where a guy had to get on top of the lift and like go between floors, and there were people shooting at him, and it was like, that would have been a pretty tough day too.
But that's all right. At least you're not stuck in the lift. That's okay. But they were saying, how's this though? They were walking from the first floor down to the ground floor. You lazy fucks, you footballers.
Yeah, sure.
Just stroll down the stairs. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's trouble at the Eagles. They're unfit.
They are in big trouble. I'll tell you what, an ex-Eagles champion met with Richmond officials and Tigers before the game against Frio on the weekend. Ben Cousins is
mate,
back.
Headed down there.
Yeah.
Good to see him, man. Good to see him. And actually, you know what? Like, I mean, he's been through his, you know, trials and tribulations of late. But if he just shaved the beard and the hair, you'd be like, that's Benny from old.
He's still a handsome man, isn't he?
Yeah. Like, he's not, like, blown out too much. Like, not at all. Like, you still look at the arms. There's a bit of something there.
Oh, I wonder why he hasn't blown out too much. What's keeping the weight off, Ben?
Oh, fucking hell. Oh, God.
But yeah, he actually, I wonder what Richmond would, like, they'd be going, it's great, we need to get him back, you know, get around him kind of thing. But then you're like, fucking hell, he's talking to Sydney Stack, who's just been there for like four games. It's good that he's there, but it's Cuz. Like, everyone knows,
I think you're
everyone
right.
knows the Cuz story.
I think they'd be like, oh, great, Benny, come in, you know. And he's like, oh, could I, you know, have a quick chat to the boys? And like, oh, look, we've got a process. Like, you know, Dimmer kind of takes it from, you know,
You're not going to believe this, Ben, but 22 of them stuck in a lift, mate. Fucking, you just wouldn't read about that singing an NXS song and just got jammed, mate, buddy. We'd like, fucking, like, thanks for coming down.
Absolutely.
And
love
next,
you here.
Next time we're over here, like when we play the Eagles next time, this time we're free, but, mate. Come, yeah, seriously, we'll let you know. Yeah, we'll call you. Absolutely, we'll call you.
But yeah, do you mind if the boys get out of the lift? Like, I can talk about, you know, my journey and, like, you know,
I've been trapped in enclosed spaces for a long time.
I can tell them about how, like, I've 6 to 12 months. I kind of seem like during games, like, just had a lot of energy. I can give them hints on how to get really have a lot of energy when I shouldn't really have that energy. Like, can I talk to the boys about?
Yeah. They're in the lift, mate. They're in the lift. Yeah, love to.
Yeah. Anything got any spare cash?
Love
I
to.
Can,
yeah.
Any cash I could just
get cash. I've got this West Coast Eagles Premiership Cup. If you want to buy that for $500.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, I've got a medal. If you want to catch Brownlow's, you know, Dusty, you want two?
Yeah. Here you go, buddy. Anyway, it's good to see him back at the club.
Hey, Sean Smith. We'll wrap up shortly, but Sean Smith. Melbourne great. He went online talking about his son Joel and had a bit of a go at Melbourne about their
Joel hurt his groin in the preseason and is out for at least another 3 weeks. So I don't think he's played this season, but his dad's fucking teed off, hasn't he?
Yeah, I feel a bit weird when the parents kind of go a bit rogue. And now, I mean, unfortunately,
I love it.
Unfortunately,
I fucking
like,
love it.
Well, yeah,
it's
yeah,
good
yeah.
for everybody.
Yeah, actually, I should say it's actually good for content. But He talks about the club mismanaging his son.
Yeah.
So, Sean Smith, clearly conditioning is not up to scratch and players have had ops. The Herald Sun's very politely put in brackets, operations. So, we didn't know.
Just in case. Yeah. You never know. Operation,
Wow. Have not been managed well. Guess whose fault that is. And don't even get me started about the mismanagement of my son.
Oh, so he was talking about other people's operations as well.
Yeah. So, this is... I always find it weird when parents kind of have a go. Now, this one was not public. Like, it was on social media.
Well, it was on Facebook, mate.
No, no.
It's public.
But I mean, like, it wasn't him going to the actual media. In terms of, like, there have been a few times players have been dropped for a grand final or something like that. And they've gone to the Herald Sun, gone to the Age, and they've been like, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. And this one's on Facebook. And so... this makes me wonder.
Yeah, to me, mate, that's public. That's a public announcement.
Oh,
like,
no,
he knows who he is and who his son is.
No, I'm saying it's public, but I'm not saying it's like I'm had
calling.
A journo come to my door.
Yes,
and
okay.
I'm going to do an interview, okay? And if you ever, like, have a go at me again, I'll fucking kill you. But, okay, it's written by Jay Clark here. And kudos to Jay Clark, if this is true, to be following Sean Smith on Facebook.
Yes.
To friend him. Just on the off chance that one day you might get a scoop. Like, fucking, that is well fucking done. Like, if you're there going, Oh man, I'm a journo. I'm eager. I'm going to break the big stories. Who should I follow? Who should I friend just to get the top notch stuff? Sean Smith. Oh yeah, a number one.
Mate, but he's friends with all the players' parents. He just, on the off chance, like you say, you never know when it's going to happen. What I really like about it, though, is it's very obvious that his son, Joel, has complained to Dad and has told him all this info, and then Dad has gone, well, I'll have a go about that. And then he's like, Dad, you know how I'm not getting a game? It's not because I'm not injured anymore. It's because you said that the conditioning's not up to scratch and that no one's been managed well. That's why. That's why I'm in the VFL again, Dad. You fucking idiot.
It's a bit rough, and I mean, and it's this world of social media as well. But it's like, just the idea of like any kind of rant on a Facebook website or whatever. It's like,
I love them.
It just puts a shiver up my spine.
I love it, mate. It's where rants belong.
Yeah, because you can seem to write unlimited stuff. Like it's like, dudes, okay, shut up.
It's where it all should happen.
Hey, should we do a bit of footballers in real life, Adam?
Absolutely. What have we got?
Let me just get it up now. Oh, this is a good one from Michael. Or could be, you know, Michelle. We don't know how BT might pronounce it.
Yeah, that's very true.
When you're there at the immigration board.
Mm.
This Friday night, I headed down to the Tote to get myself a good old dose of Aussie punk rock.
So the Tote's a dirty fucking dive bar pub in Collingwood that's renowned for its alternative music.
The band, Amyl and the Sniffers.
Yep.
For the uninitiated, Amyl was an astoundingly energetic outfit with a powerful woman who fronts the band made up of three blokes with powerful mullets.
Yes.
Standing tall above the crowd. Are you familiar with Amyl and the Sniffers?
I am indeed, mate.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, you're that great world.
Yeah, they're great.
Standing tall above the crowd, looking the part in a tight leather jacket, was Richmond legend Matthew Richo Richardson.
Here we go.
Can confirm the band's humorous name does manifest itself in members of the crowd handing out little bottles of Amyl nitrate to the band members for a whiff, if they so choose.
They do really?
Hey, mate, it's the footballers in real life, so it's fact.
Okay.
I, however, cannot confirm if, after seeing this, Richo is considering taking a band named Just Three More Votes in the 2008 Brownlow Medal.
I would go see that band. And you know what? That's the kind of band name that would happen at the Tote.
Yeah, they'd be a bit loose, wouldn't they?
Yeah. You just go, I'm going to see Three More Votes in the Brownlow tonight. And everyone will go, oh yeah, they're fucking great.
We've got a bit of inside info about the umpires, Adam, because we were talking about the umpire pay last week. Was that right?
Yes.
So we have one here from... I'll not mention the name.
Okay.
Been requested, not mention the name.
Yeah, we're protecting people's identities these days.
So this could be from Razor Ray. We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we do know. We're protecting the name. Remember that bit?
Well, it's not Razor Ray, okay? It's not.
Damn.
The umpire pay you mentioned was a little bit low. So I think last week we were talking about the VFL umpires being paid about $350.
Yes, and we thought that AFL umpires got $1,500 per game.
Yeah, so the umpire pay you mentioned is a bit low, but around the mark, VFL field umpire is closer to $450 a game.
Okay.
But the reason I'm messaging, quick umpire pay story. In 2010, drawn grand final, the umpire pay for the grand final is up around $10,000 to $12,000.
Fuck, not Jeez. Bad.
And that's 2010, man. That's like 10 years ago.
For GF. Yeah, it's going to have to be like at least 15 to 16 now.
In brackets, doing very well for themselves, yeah, as we all are. Mm. Now, you'd think umpiring two grand finals, you get paid for both games. The AFL tried to stiff them on the payment for the second grand final.
Sometimes, mate, my hatred towards the AFL. How fucking dare they? What do you get a painter in to paint your house and then you go, give it another coat, and you go, I'm not paying for the second coat. What the fuck? You're paying for it, AFL.
And I remember that grand final and the one after being highly regarded as like two very well umpired grand finals, particularly a draw in a grand final.
Yes. For no one to talk about the umpires.
Like we aren't talking about, you know, 10 years later pretty much, talking about that one decision.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very great call.
There may be Saints or Collingwood fans out there who go, no, you're wrong. But like... It's not in the zeitgeist. So don't tell us we're wrong. We're fucking right. So shut up. Now, you'd be thinking two umpiring two grand finals, you get paid for both games. Alpha tried to stiff him for the second one, not wanting to pay the extra $10K per person. Some quick politicking by the AFL-UA.
Oh, the Umpires Association.
The Umpires Association.
Fuck
made
you,
it sure.
Mate. And that's how powerful it is. You rarely hear about them, but fuck, when they do, they go hard.
That's actually the first time I've ever heard the reference to the AFL Umpire Association. Oh, no, same. About a week ago when they talked about they were angry that the AFL weren't supporting them.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, made sure it was a crisis averted, and each ump got $10K for two in a fortnight.
And as they should.
Another little note, delisted umpires often go back to the VFL to try to get back on the AFL list. Two completely separate lists. Trade the MCG for Casey for a year to try to get back up.
Oh, okay.
Added here from our friend, this never works, poor blokes. Oh. That's a shame. Go back and, yeah.
They think they can change it and then they go, ugh. The AFL goes, nah, you're not coming back, mate. They're like, well, what'd you tell us to go to Casey? They're like, yeah, it was cheaper for us.
Here's one from
we
Luke.
We stooged you.
Being the politician Leviathan that I am, I was handing out some of my policies at Blackburn Station in Melbourne Suburban East. As I was offering some in-depth policy analysis to punters just wanting to catch their bus, I attempted to dish off a pamphlet to a lean, fit bloke with an athletic attire where the upstairs jacket said Melbourne winter and the downstairs running short said I have terrific calves. Got a gentle no thanks, but a smile, and I think it's fair to say that the Greens may not be the party of this ex-superstar of the game, and that person was Brock McLean.
Not Brocky.
Brock McLean. Carlton
superstar. Did I tell you I ran into him at the Izakaya Den in the city, the Japanese restaurant in Melbourne?
What do you mean you ran into him? Like, you kind of like, hey, Brocky, how are you, mate? Or like,
yeah,
he was just
yeah.
there.
No, he was walking up the stairs as I was going down them, and he just yelled out, Adam! Because he's just fucking mental.
Really?
And yeah. And I was like, Brocky, how are you? And then he'd enjoyed himself while he was there, I'll put it that way. And so we just said g'day, and then he continued on his merry way.
Good on him.
It was a few months ago.
We're going to hit the road, Adam.
We are indeed. I tell you what, Carlton against the Giants, mate, it's going to be huge.
It's going to be massive.
Yeah.
Hawthorn Richmond on Sunday. At 3:20.
Are you going to go?
I'm going to be in Sydney this weekend.
Okay. I'll tell you what, that will get more than 14,000 people. Yeah, I guarantee that.
Yeah. But that'll be a make and breaker for the Hawks. If we could pitch that.
Yeah, you lose that, it's fucking all over. But they've got no ruckman now, Richmond, so they could be in big trouble.
Well, they've got no nothing, haven't they? Like, everyone's fallen over.
They are.
Hey, we are JunkTimeAFLPod at Gmail, JunkTimeAFLPod on Facebook and Twitter and the Gram.
Absolutely.
We're going to hit the road. Hey, go home.
Go Blues.